If you're watching, thank you for being with us. And now, we're going to finish up on some notes from last week, and I've added a couple notes, so please bear with me. Sister Karis, I think this is for you. Did you read? No, you did not read this one yet. Okay, I'll have to get this one to her. Brother Ray, go ask blessing on the offering. Would you please, sir? Amen, amen. All right, we're in Exodus 28 this morning. Thank you, Brother Kevin. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much, buddy. Amen. Well, Kevin, I've been praying about something. See me after the service about something.
Yes, sir.
I got something good for you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Beat me.
Well, I want to, but Dad said you've been good to a point. All right, so there's a few notes I want to go through. The breastplate, I just don't want to go through it in like one service. There's just too much here. Now, please, would you all bear with me, because I've been praying about this. The morning's message is going to be more teaching than it is preaching. We're going to be looking at the deadly drug of alcohol, and we have to see it that way. But there's also an even a more deadly drug, and that is just not being in the Word. So then what happens is you ingest news. Yesterday, there was word out that Israel was being attacked by Iran. Now, I will tell you this, that what they're doing is they're waving at you with the left hand to hit you with the right hand. Our news is lying to us. Now, is there something going on? Possibly and probably. But I had an old preacher tell me the other day, and if you were old enough to remember the 1967 six-day war, Golda Meir was the leader of Israel at the time, if you can remember those things. The same thing was being thought, although some 50 years later, there is a lot of, 50, is that 60 years? Yeah, it's almost 60 years later. Anyway, I'm just reminding Miss Jamie, that's all I'm doing. Her birthday's coming up in a month, 2 months. Anyhow, Mom, if you're watching, I'll let her hit me. There's a lot going on in our world, and it's meant to scare us. Our food supply is horrible. And there are things, Brother Ray and I were just talking, he gets headaches anyway because he's a Wolverine fan, but they're enhanced and made more severe by some of these sweeteners, aspartame, some of these other sweeteners. Let me tell you what's really funny. Coke Zero I could drink, but Diet Coke I can't. Regular Coke I can't. Even with that real cane sugar, for some reason I could drink. I did that this week, and I hadn't had it in a while. But the sweetener that's in most of our stuff will make you jittery. The other day I did this, and I had, I don't know, Jamie, what did I have, maybe 10 ounces or something. And I was holding my phone, I was reading something. My hand was shaking a little bit. What happens is, now, today, it's fine. What happens is we ingest things that cause us to be anxious. Be careful. You know, Paul speaks about that clearly there in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing. We get worried about taxes. We get worried about the egg prices. Now, sometimes, and many, no, I'm just going to say many times. Have you noticed when they start talking about there being a war, gasoline goes up? Do you think maybe that's planned? I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but remember, the only difference between conspiracy and truth is generally 30 days. It's usually at 30 days, because you'll hear a conspiracy and 30 days later you find out to be truth. So I want you to be cautious in the bad news that you're seeing on TV and reading in the newspaper. I will tell you this, I have not. Even Epic Times, which is a good conservative news agency, I've put them all away. I don't read them anymore. I'll check the Weather Channel, and even then, 9 times out of 10, the weather's not what it says it is. Right now, it is a beautiful 65 degrees. This is Pensacola in the 1st of February. Isn't it beautiful? This, I could live. Look, if you've got a problem with this, you've just got a problem. You need Jesus. But it's 65 degrees with a light breeze. So Peter can't land on you. Look, the temperature's perfect where you don't have to put 17 layers on to be warm. Okay? You can even go barefoot. I think Sister Rachel had her flip-flops on or her Crocs on. I like to wear those too. But what's that? Do you? I know it. I love it. I love wearing my Crocs. I do. But this is beautiful weather. So what did the weatherman say it was going to be yesterday? I don't know. I didn't look. When the word came on about Iran and drones, I didn't believe it. There's something coming. Could it be drones? Could it be something else? Yeah, possibly. Could it be drones? Don't know. But here's what I don't believe. Iran, somebody else is putting Iran up to it. There's the devil's behind it all. We know that.
That's right.
But was Russia behind it? Is China behind it? Hey, are we behind it? The U.S. government's been one of those corrupt governments in the history of mankind. The CIA had something to do with John F. Kennedy's death, according to the documents. So who are you going to believe? That will, and a lot of people say you better be careful in speculation, and that's true. So who do we know? How do we know that John Wilkes Booth wasn't put up, given the bullets that shot Abraham Lincoln? Something to consider. Something to consider. In the Old Testament, we find Naaman, who was ahead of the Syrians, and his boys went in there and killed him. There's a lot of things that I want to bring out about the breastplate that are the absolute opposite of that. Last week, look at chapter 28 of Exodus and verse number 15. Because there's a couple things, boy, I really want to emphasize to get going, but there's some amazing stuff along with it that we need to see. Verse number 15 of chapter 8. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, of fine twined linen. Thou shalt make. Fourscore it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. So we're always seeing the beauty. We're always seeing the detail. Now let's look at why there is. Look at verse 21. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, everyone with his name, shall they be according to the 12 tribes. This breastplate. Of course, this breastplate is very special to me when I see the Jesus Christ, my great high priest. In the Old Testament, we see heaven. But also, we also see not only heaven, and we see the Old Testament, but we also see the high priest, our Lord Jesus. Why is this so important? Why is this so special? Well, it is important and special to know that breastplate is on my great high priest. I said last week, number one, it's over the heart to protect the heart. They would wear, in battle, the soldier is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. In battle, to do what? To protect the vital organs moving forward. Did you notice it wasn't a back plate? Now, I know that probably from behind I look better than I do from in front of, right? I guess I better be careful how I say that. But are y'all listening to me a moment? Why is it not a back plate? What are we doing? What's that? Well, that's very true, but you're missing a point here. Why is it not the back plate? Why is it not the back plate? Why is it the breastplate? Going forward. God told the children of Israel and Moses, as they were getting ready, they were crossing, he told them to go forward. What happened? Well, the soldiers came back and give an evil report. And I've met some that think they're all big and bad and all this and that. And there was a young man that was giving me some troubles, about 13, 14 years old, in the martial arts, just having a bad attitude kind of day. And we'll work out with him and stuff. I walked over, and he's the same height I am, but he is not the same width I am. I said, you better get your attitude together. He straightened right up, got it together. The mom said, what'd you say to him? I said, I told him to get it together. Well, why does it work for you and not for me? Because I'm bigger, I'm stronger, and I'm wider than you. There's a presence. God says, be still and know that I am God. You know what he's doing? He's trying to get you to submit. Our biggest problem is we think we know it all. Every one of us are in that position. As you grow and mature, you're less and less and less in that position. You know why you don't see the Bible? Your flesh does not want to be submitted to the fact that God knows more than you do. That's usually my problem. I don't know. If it's not your problem, then you're perfect. I want to get next to him because he's taller than I am. He's wider than I am. The young man came up to me after class. He said, Pastor David, please forgive me. I said, I will. He said, you know what? I didn't realize how wide and big you really are. I said, well, young Koa. I said, well, Koa, God's even bigger. I got on you about a bad attitude. Yeah. God already seen it. I get a kick out of these guys that are cussing up a storm. Pastor, I'm in. And I had a potty mouth, and I got this and that going on. Well, forgive me. I said, God's been here the whole time. He's the one you better ask forgiveness from. Had a gentleman do that yesterday, and he looked at me. Started tearing up. This is a Marine. I'm talking about 19 years of service in the military, a PGA pro nonetheless. Tear in his eye. He said, I really want to do right. Yeah, I know. Just practice. You know, there was a statement that was made, and I've heard a lot of independent guys get upset with this statement, but you ought to practice living knowing that God's in the presence. You need to practice the presence of God. That's what a lot of them will say. And I've heard some other preachers get upset at me for teaching relationship and not religion. But we ought to have a relationship with God. And that's what it's all about, beloved. As we look at the breastplate, for me, number one, it's a relationship. It is the fact that I'm always close and he's always close to me. It goes back to the Psalm 91, being seated under the shadow of the Almighty. I hope that'll grip your heart if you're watching. Blessed is the man. Wait a minute, that's Psalm 1:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth. Sister Jamie, last night, I'd gotten home and we were talking a little bit. And she's over. She got like looking at her iPad and got her ear things in. And, hey, babe, what do you think of this? I'm carrying on a conversation with her. Huh? She needs Jesus. Amen? Oh, my goodness. But relationship. Have you ever noticed that tour couple, Sister Karis, now you and I, and Bency, and Catherine too, and probably Mama Ward, because all four of them, they're quiet at first, but then you get them talking, and it's like a snowball down one of them infinite hills, amen? You can't get them to shut up. But we can sit, and Bency and I have done this, we can sit for 10, 20 minutes and not say a word, and have said more in 10, 20 minutes than we see say in 6, 8 hours. That's what a mature being. So why do I bring that up? Well, listen, that breastplate, the breastplate is being carried. The breastplate is not carrying the high priest. Get a hold of that thought. The Lord Jesus is carrying you. It's the footprints idea. Footprints in the sand. I see only one set of footprints. That's usually him carrying. And Sister Karis, Sister Bency, with our backs. Sister Ward, with your neck. We need carried, Miss Catherine. Because there's sometimes our legs are just tired. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living in this whole world. Not that I want to get out of here too early. I don't want to do that. That would be wrong. You know, suicide, I truly believe when you look at the scriptures, a Christian who commits suicide just loses all reward. Don't lose salvation. But there's a loss of rewards. Remember that too. You can't. That once you're saved, you're always saved. Whether you like it or not. I had somebody ask me, they said, Pastor, why do you have Baptist in your name? Just come out. I see Bible and Baptist. Understand the Bible, but what about... And this gentleman was asking a very good question. Understand this. When this church was first brought together, you're talking about the first official Amy Carmichael Memorial, Walker Memorial Church is what it was called. Amy Carmichael was a famous missionary to India, correct? Well, then the Walkers had deeded the land. So that was the official name. We're talking 1887. In the early to mid-1870s, they started worshiping here. They were given permission. They used the root cellar. In 1929, this church finished this upstairs and incorporated as Walker Memorial Church. But all under the guise of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. What is that? It is the Baptist Confession of Faith that all independent Baptists, the good ones, have been under since the 1670s. This has always been a Baptist church. But what makes it a Baptist church is what it believes. The Bible's the final authority. God is God and we are not. Salvation by grace through faith. And what makes us different from every other religion or creed or whatever is the fact that once a man's been saved by the Lord Jesus by grace through faith, they are sealed forever. Amen. You do realize that. So this young man, I gave him that answer. He says, well, I believe that. It's okay. You're part of the Baptist people. He says, should I go to a Baptist church? You're part of the Baptist people. You have to understand the word Baptist, the true word for it, is Anabaptist. They were rebaptizers. Somebody would get, a Catholic would come in and see the grace of God. Okay, Lord Jesus, I believe. Forgive me my sins. Save my soul. That kind of thing. And then, hallelujah, they get saved. They're baptized by immersion. So they were rebaptized. The Catholic Church thought it was terrible. They rebaptized them. Matter of fact, a lot of believers were killed for the fact of rebaptizing them. Not only was the individual that was rebaptized killed, but then the preacher, if they caught him, the Catholic Church, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, and many others, trying to think of Episcopalians, they killed believers because of that. Baptist, that's history. Now, we have all that in mind that we are being carried. How are we being carried? By that breastplate of righteousness. And by the way, this is a warning to the enemy. I don't remember what cartoon, I don't remember what show, I don't remember what, if it was in a newspaper or what it was. But you have a little boy that sees an enemy. And they got their dukes up. They are ready to fight. And this enemy towers over them. And then the enemy looks, turns around, and runs. And that little boy thinks he did it. What he didn't know is who was behind him. So you have to understand that there's nothing or nobody that can whoop my daddy. Now, my dad's a pretty hardened guy. I love him. I love him from a distance. And Dad, if you're watching this or get a chance to, a lot of water under the bridge, sir. And he's struggling. He doesn't understand things as much as he used to. And I'm trying to do my best. But when I get cussed every time I see him, I'm not going around. No, I have to protect me and Jamie. See, the apron strings were cut the day I got married. And I love my parents. I should always show them respect, whether they're dead or living. But there's just some things I have to do. I think of my earthly daddy, but I also think of my heavenly daddy. And there is plenty of evidence in the Bible to prove that my heavenly daddy, Abba Father, my daddy, is a whole lot bigger than all the enemies put together. So that's that being carried and not carried. It's a warning to the enemy. Always close to his heart. Hey, always remembered. Warned to be seen. Isn't that why we wear things like that? We want to be seen. So we got to this point, and I wanted to finish here. But the breastplate of righteousness is beautiful and precious to the one wearing the breastplate. This tie is one of Pastor Charlie's ties. I like the tie. I didn't wear a suit coat anymore. A suit coat don't do good on me. You say, well, you need a bigger suit coat. Yeah, but I just feel like I got a blanket. I got a horse blanket on me. And I will tell you this, all the good preachers, before they preach, have you ever take their coats off? You know why? Dry cleaning bills are so high. And you get to sweating in them. And over time, if you don't get them cleaned, they smell like human sweat. Now, I wear a dry fit shirt underneath, and I wear my dress shirts and whatnot, and then you put a coat on, and I get to sweating. So a man that wears a jacket, fine, a man don't wear a jacket. I don't have too much trouble with it. But we wear things to be seen. We wear things because they're beautiful, and we wear things to remember. I have a wedding ring on. You know what that reminds me of? I don't know. Can anybody remind me why I got a wedding ring on? Hopefully I'll think about it later. Well, of course not. You know that's silly. You know why? So somebody said, do you really need glasses? Like right now, I'm 20/20 vision. I can see Jamie back there, no problem. I can see the clock back there, no problem. But if I wanted to walk up to my Bible, I'd have struggles reading it. And I've even got a large print Bible. Why? Because my eyes don't focus like they used to. They just don't. Over time, and the many times that Jamie's hit me in the head with a ball peen hammer and rolling pin, I probably had more concussions than any football player. But my point with this is that on this breastplate that's remembered and it's close, the names of each tribe of Israel is written on. I really want to make it, if you give me a few minutes here, in verse number 21, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Now, here's something to think about. How did they engrave those names on a breastplate that was going to fit and have, there's three rows of four? How did they know how to do that? Can you engrave the name Reuben or Judah? Can you engrave Ephraim, Joseph? Can you Manasseh? Think about Manasseh on a stone. That's a big name. What did they have to have? Well, first of all, they had to have engraving tool. I think that they were a lot more technologically advanced than we give them credit for. How did they, by the way, I don't know how y'all are, but I'd have to have a special glass that I could see. I remember Grandpa working on the IC boards back in the day, and he had a light, the big circle light with a glass on it, probably 25 times or 30 times, and then he could work on it. And it was amazing how it would bring that board up, and he could solder and do whatever he wanted. And y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody do any reading? You can still, with your glasses, you still got to have another magnifying glass. Well, it is. It's Pica 7 and 8 is what they're using for a lot of things. The engravers were given the wisdom to do it. You ever thought about that? Where'd they get their alphabet? Where'd they get their spelling? God gave them the wisdom for it. And a lot of people, I'm not so sure on this, but many believe that the Hebrew of that was spoken in Moses' day is the language of heaven. I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that God knows it. It's not something for me to know right now. You know, there's a whole lot of preaching today that men speculate or men give that don't amount to a hill of beans. You understand what I mean? And those of you who are over 40 understand that statement. They don't amount to anything. So why is this important, this engraving? So the names are engraved on the stones, on the heart, and they're put right there. So think about this. Think about your name. Now, I understand in Scripture there's a new name. I don't know what it is, but God has it. We're going to see that passage in just a moment. But can I show you the places that your name is written down? Come with me to Isaiah 49. Jamie, I have been looking for this all week. Isaiah 49 and verse number 16. When I say I've been looking for this, actually for about 2 weeks, I had to go back to my old, wore out, you see how? And somebody says, well, you need to get a new Bible. So I got a new Bible. I've had this Bible for 17 years now. And it's kind of torn and tattered. My pastor got on me because I had duct tape for a spine on one of my Bibles. But I had to go back to that old Bible that I've been through. And I found this marked in Isaiah 49. Look at verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Ladies, as moms, how did you feel that day that you wrote your child's birth name? All you ladies that have had children, did not when I got my second, had a momentary lapse of sanity. And decided to make him a second, not a junior. So I call him junior just to irritate him. But I tell you what I should have named him is Jamie Jr. All right, I digress. She knows what I mean. Hey, beloved, do you remember that day that you wrote your baby's name down for the first time? Ah, Brother Ray, you remember the first? You may not have, because I don't know if they taught y'all how to write up there. Anyway, I remember the first time I ever wrote Jamie's name. I got it wrong. Was it in a letter, or was it something I said? J-A-M-I-E. That's the only way I knew it. It's, I mean, she was mean about it. She was, what? You better get my name right. It's like, whoa, this woman needs Jesus. She did. It's J-A-M-I. I wanted to say, well, that's just really weird. But I didn't. Even at 17 years of age, I had a little bit of couth to me. Because she's, I better not use past tense. Because she is really cute. She's my honey. Beloved, in here in the room, you know this when I say this. And there's only been two women in my life that have ever been with me since beginning to end. And that's my mama and Jamie. Now, in the last 17 years, I've had Bensie beside me and Karis. And now Catherine's come along. Well, she's been a blessing. And Mama Ward has always, Mama Ward prays for me. And I appreciate that. But so when I say that, there's so many others that are involved in my life. But for my entirety, I've had Jamie and my mom. And so names are important. Mama said, because I was her firstborn and definitely not her favorite ever in the history of mankind, she called me Tiger. And that's pretty special. We have those special names. So let me show you something. Are you watching? Please. Behold. Back up to verse 13 so you can even get a better thought of this. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Watch this. But Zion. Who's Zion? That's Israel. But Zion said, which is opposite of what the Lord just said. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Remember all those times that they gone on Moses? Would you to bring us out here to die? I can imagine, I would have. You bunch of morons, you idiots. You just saw the Red Sea dry up. We walked across it, looked at the fish in the water. Said hello, looked around at the amazement of God, walked on dry land to no more get across the dry land, and watched the Egyptian army, the entire army, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the world's largest army at the time, was now drowned in that same area. And you want to gripe and complain because you don't have any water? You want to gripe and complain because you don't have any bread? And that's why the Lord said in his model prayer for the Christian, give us this day our daily bread. You know? God knows your needs. But it doesn't give us anything. But Zion, verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. He's never forsaken or forgot you. Why? Because your name. Hang on. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You say, well, this is for Israel. Finish that verse. Thy walls are continually before me. Remember, walls are important in the Old Testament. He that hath no control of his own spirit is as a city broken down and without walls. That means the enemy's inside. They're destroyed you. And God got the walls up in order to protect you. A buddy of mine used to preach a message, and he become a heretic and just an absolute godless idiot. He had a message, though. It was a blessing. Are your walls up? So that's God. He's written you on a palm. Where is your name written? Well, A lot of people would say
that's only for Israel.
Okay. Remember this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Come with me to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. David, why does it feel? Got it. That's the right one. I thought it was 4:3. It is. It's the verse I got. I got it right, okay? Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee, this is Paul writing, also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. Now watch, whose names are written in the book of life. Ain't that good?
Well, he wrote Israel's names on the palm of his hands.
Yeah, well, he's written your name in the book of life. And I'm going to go so far as to say, every now and then my Lord will say, I better go help David. You know, my strength in my hand and my arm is not slack in power. It's not slack in the reach. Are y'all with me? I'm just going to go ahead and claim Isaiah. Is that okay with y'all? And know that he has my name written down. My name was written on my birth certificate by my precious mom. And my mom did not forget me nor forsake me. She's probably wanted to. I mean, not that I ever gave a reason to, okay? Y'all know I'm perfect, right? Hey, you want another place? Yeah, that's just one place. Come to Revelation 2. Y'all come to Revelation 2 with me? Yeah. He's written your name down. He knows my name. Revelation 2 and verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And will give him a white stone. And then the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I wonder what my new name is. You know, I've been trying to think about what name if I wasn't David Michael Garver, what would it be? But you know what? There's no other name I want than the one given to me by my mama and daddy. And I'm going to tell you now, this new name is given to me by my heavenly Father. I think it's going to be a good one, whatever it is. I don't know what it is right now. I don't. All I know is he's got it written down again. Y'all with me? Y'all there yet? You need a spiritual birth certificate also. Are you with me? Then, on top of that, let me take you to another verse. Look at chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 27. I'm almost there. I got a few more scriptures to read. Y'all with me? Hang in there. Revelation 21 now, verse 27. Revelation 21 and verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Now, this is talking about the new heaven and new earth, where there's no night, by the way. Dwelleth neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. My name's written there. If you've been saved, your name's written there. It will not be blotted out. Now, there is one passage that makes mention of it to be the name blotted out, but that's not the context, nor is it the idea that you lose your salvation. You know, a lot of people think you can lose your salvation. We've had people come here that put anywhere from $800 to $1,000 a month into the church and turn around and walk away. They think they can buy the power. And I remember telling one such woman, ma'am, there's the door. Well, you're going to miss my tithe. Yeah, but you're not taking God. You're not taking God Almighty out of here. Matter of fact, if anything's happening, the devil's walking out. I know I know how to influence others. What is it? Make friends or win friendships and influence others. Well, I influenced her and her husband to walk out. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, so come with me to John chapter 10. Y'all figuring this out yet? Look at John chapter 10. Let me read a few verses here, and then I want to get over to Romans 5. There's a lot of scripture on this. Where's my name written at? Well, it's written in heaven. Palm of his hand. Lamb's Book of Life. I ain't worried about where my name's written here. I don't care that it's on the naughty list or the good list of old Saint Nick, the devil himself. Now, I get a kick out of them old boys that call him Satan Claus. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Look at verse 25. And Jesus answered them, I told you and believed, and ye believed not. He's talking to the folks that are around him here in John 10. Not just the disciples, but a whole bunch of people have shown up here. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know what my mama knows? My name. You know what my daddy knows? My name. That's pretty special. Hey, you know what my girlfriend knows? My honey bunny, my sugar booger, my sweet cakes. You know what she knows? She definitely knows my name. And there are times that my name could be Dummy. There are times my name could be Doofus. There are times and my name could be Dopey. But I like it when she says honey. I like it when God says David. I like it when my Savior reminds me that he knows my name. Well, this breastplate of righteousness, it gets really big, don't it? A lot of times in our world for Cancer Month of October and whatnot, they wear these little pink insignias or whatnot. And I don't know the history behind it. There's probably an adulterous religion behind the way that loop is made. I don't know. I can do some research into it. Because most of our symbols come from the occult. You do realize that. Could be a fish upside down. I don't know. You know, they use the fish for the Christian and whatnot. But what I do know, regardless of all that, he knows my name. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Some thoughts, huh? How does an individual get their name changed? Well, they have to go down to the local powers that be that they were born in that county and have their name changed. You know, that's the idea of adoption. Well, the Bible says that I'm adopted. See, at one time, David Michael Garver, the sinner, was under condemnation. So God went down to the spiritual county courthouse. And then he wrote David in the Lamb's Book of Life because I've been adopted by him. Does that make sense? I'm his. He is mine. Now, once an adoption happens, you can't go down and change it anymore. It's sealed. What makes you think you can lose your salvation if the name's already sealed? I mean, even in this passage, no man shall take them out of my Father's hand, no man shall take them out of my hand. What a thought. Let me finish up with this. Romans chapter 5. Good morning, Miss Margie. It's good to see you. Glad to see you smile. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. Let me read this passage and I'm done with Sunday school this morning. Romans 5, 1. Oh, what a passage. Romans 5, 1 and through verse 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I was going to leave that verse out, but I probably better read all of it. Knowing that tribulation... Should I read this whole thing here? I struggle with this one. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing the tribulation worketh patience. For ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What a thought. For if when we were enemies with we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Our name has been written down. Well, this morning, that's all I wanted to get to about the breastplate and your name being written on the stone. What a thought. He knows my name. Father, thank you for our Sunday school hour. And we ask that you would bless the word. And God, may it really help us this week to remember that you've got names written down. You never forsake us nor forget us. And that breastplate that the high priest wore is the same one my Savior's wearing with my name on it. Thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right. Good morning, y'all. How we doing? It's good to see you all. I'm glad to see that Sister